It just seems like it's been so long since I've been with you. I missed ministering. I missed being with you. Like you, sometimes you ask questions. I know that we serve a Lord that can heal. And sometimes he chooses a way to heal that's a little different than the one that I thought. He chose to send us to a doctor. Dr. Luke penned many words in our Bible. And so the Lord decided to send us to New York. While I was there, I said, Lord, use me while I'm here. I had an opportunity to pray with a couple that had, I think she was 9 years old, girl that had an organ transplant that had some complications. He was a concrete contractor in Staten Island. He and his wife and little girl were located across the room from me, from where Kirsten was staying. I went over and visited with them, got talking to them, offered prayer with them. We held hands and prayed for his little girl. A few days later, a couple came from Arizona. Their boy was 20 years old that had two surgeries, like the one that Kirsten had. He had actually two surgeries like hers, and had opportunity to pray with them as well. What a wonderful opportunity he had. It was just wonderful to be able to pray with them. And we also met some other wonderful people while there. I'll mention Valerie's name. She was a janitorial lady that was cleaning on the floor that we were at. And I got to be friends with her and talk to her. Also, Antonio Watson. Got to also be friends with him. He worked at the Watson Hotel where we were staying. Also got to talking to the bellhop. I can't remember his name. But whenever I had opportunity to do so, I tried to make myself available to whomever God put in my path. And so I've met some wonderful people in New York. Antonio said he'd visit me sometime, so I'm looking forward to his visit. So if you have your Bibles to the book of James. Now, I did put a mark where I think I stopped, but I'm not sure. So I'm going to have to check with y'all to see if that's where we actually stopped. I had a check mark at verse 9. Is that where we're at? Verse 9 of chapter 3. Verse 9. Anybody know? I did do 9 through 18. Okay, so we're in chapter 4. Well, then your pastor's going to have to go in a different direction. I studied something that we already done, huh? Well, that's good. All right. I do want to share something that John MacArthur had to say about the tongue. I can't remember if I'd read it or not. Maybe I did. James presents another test of true believers. The first two tests have centered around our response to the trials and temptations and to our response to the truth. Now, that was chapter 2. Sorry. You can see I'm very prepared. The tongue is you. There we go. Now, this is good. The tongue is you. In a very unique way. It is a tattletale that tells on your heart. The words that come out of your mouth speak what's on your heart. And it discloses the real you. You want to know what's in men's hearts? Listen to them talk. Not only that, but the misuse of the tongue is perhaps the easiest way to sin. There are some sins that an individual may not be able to commit simply because he doesn't have the opportunity. But there's no limits to what one can say. No built-in restraints or boundaries. In the scripture, the tongue is variously described as wicked, deceitful, perverse, filthy, corrupt, flattering, slanderous, gossiping, blasphemous, foolish, boasting, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, and vile. And that list is not exhaustive. It's no wonder God has put the tongue in a cage behind the teeth, walled in by the mouth. Not surprisingly, the tongue is of great concern to James. James has mentioned the tongue in every chapter of his letter. He uses the tongue as still another test of living faith. Because of the genuineness of a person's faith, it will inevitably be demonstrated by his speech. James personifies the tongue and the mouth as representatives of the depravity and the wretchedness of the inner man. The tongue only produces what it is told to produce by the heart, where sin originates. James teaches that true believers will possess a sanctified tongue, yet they must maintain a sanctified tongue. He gives three compelling reasons for controlling the tongue: its potential to condemn, its power to control, and its propensity to corrupt. As you remember from our study, that bitter and sweet water can't flow out of the same fountain. So what James is saying, bitter and sweet water shouldn't flow out of our mouth as well. We're made in the very image of God. And whereby we praise and worship the Lord, and yet with the same tongue, we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. So the tongue is an important member to learn, that we need to learn to control it. Let the Holy Spirit control it. You ever say anything that after you said it, you wished you could go back and change it? You can't change it. Once it's out of your mouth, it's too late. The damage has already been done. And I know that many of us, myself included, have at times, in a heated time, have said things that we really regretted. We wished we could go back and redo that. We wished we could go back and erase that, but we can't. So let the Holy Spirit fill you and use you. And in prayer and in reading God's word, let the word of God have its perfect work in you. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide your tongue. And be an encourager. Be an encourager. I was so blessed by those in New York who you think are so busy and so involved in your own life. And there are many that are. But when we took a moment to just talk and share, it was interesting how many of them said, "Well, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for your granddaughter." And that was encouraging. I was very blessed by your prayers and very helped by your prayers. All right. Does anybody have a testimony? Does anyone have a testimony?